Welcome to Did You Know, the ESCO HVAC podcast, the show where we explore the cool, the hot, and the everything in between of the HVACR industry. Each week, we dig into the innovations, the insights, and the inspiring stories that power our trade, from the classroom to the job site and beyond. This episode is brought to you by this week's amazing sponsors, Daikin Comfort Technology, perfecting the air since 1924, Service Logic, people first, always, Hudson Technologies, 1 pound reclaimed is 1 pound not made, iConnect Training, supporting HVAC and refrigeration instructors, as well as the United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices of the Plumbing and Pipe Fitting Industry of the United States and Canada, built on excellence since 1889. Whether you're just getting started or you've been turning wrenches for decades like myself, there's always something new for us to learn. I'm Clifton Beck, and this is Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Podcast. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again on Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Podcast. We spend a lot of time talking about energy efficiency, ways that we can improve efficiency of buildings and especially equipment. We're seeing a lot of changes in technology, a lot of innovations. And so today we're spending some time with Curtis Russell from Mars Air Systems. Curtis, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, thank you for having me on. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. I spent a lot of time in the refrigeration, especially commercial refrigeration sector, you know, seeing air curtains in a variety of installations and applications. But as we started seeing those grocery stores evolve, I spent a lot of time on new construction. So I worked as a mobile engineer for a large grocery store chain here in the Midwest. And I had some of the older stores that I would manage, but a lot of times when we'd open up a new store, I'd go in for the startup commissioning, stay there that first year. And one of the things that we would see a lot of, especially in newer constructions, is air curtains being used in a lot of different applications. And I don't think everyone is aware of the opportunities that are in the air curtain design and replacement and how they can affect building efficiencies. So let's kind of educate an industry on air curtain applications.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll kind of talk about efficiencies too. I think that's a really good point there. I really think, you know, the problem with air curtains, first and foremost, I guess just to give everyone kind of a basic understanding of what we're doing, right, with air curtains, we're really just using, it's a unit that's creating a controlled stream of air to separate two environments, pretty much at a basic level there, right?
Right.
I think the problem with air curtains is because we're moving air, a lot of times it's tough for people to conceptualize what's going on.
Yeah.
You could kind of think about it as the analogy I like to use is like the sleeve on a coffee cup, right? So you get that Starbucks coffee, you get the sleeve on it, right? And obviously that sleeve is preventing your hand from burning. Well, why is that, right? It's really the space or the air between the outside of that sleeve and the outside of the cup. That's really what's preventing your hand from getting burned there is that air in between. And really, you know, it's a little bit different because we're moving air, but the science behind it and the concept is pretty much the same. Various benefits there. I think they're most commonly known as a fly fan, but there's just so many other applications. Hopefully, you know, I can give everyone some kind of awareness of that today. More on the temperature side of things, environmental separation, right? Using them in cold storage applications. Clifton, I know you said yourself you do a lot of cold storage refrigeration, so I think that's a very common application. We can get into the humidity side of things as well with that. I know that's a big issue in cold storage as well. And then in addition to just, you know, keeping our buildings clean, preventing the quote unquote bad stuff from getting in the buildings,
right,
and keeping the good stuff in. So that's kind of the general idea of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, I've seen some very interesting designs in air curtain construction along the way. One primary one we had a large, it was all cold storage. So you had a walk-in cooler, very large walk-in cooler, actually drive-in cooler that they ran fork trucks through. But then right next to it was the actual meat prepping area, right? All the meat cutting for the store.
and it had an air curtain between the two of them. And they kept about a 15 degree differential between those two spaces. You know, you didn't want 40 degree in your meat cutting room, but, you know, 50, 55 was, you know, comfortable for somebody to work in. And you could literally, like, walking through the air curtain, you had a 15 degree difference within, you know, a 6-inch space. And people always thought that was very interesting how you can walk through and, you know, like, we, for fun, sometimes you'd stand there and, like, stick one hand through the air curtain.
And yeah. Go, ah, yeah. Yeah. I think everyone kind of has their, we call it like the aha moment. Right. And like I said, because it's one of the difficult things with air curtains is because you can't see it working.
Right.
That really, like, that touch, that feel element of it is so important. I encourage anyone who's, you know, either if they're around job sites with air curtains or have installed one, doing exactly what you said, right? Just standing in front of it and really just feeling that temperature difference, I think is the best way to really understand, like, oh, wow, this air, you know, it's actually providing this barrier, this protection between the two spaces. So especially in cold storage as well, right? The bigger, the rule of thumb I like to say too, is the bigger temperature difference that you could have, the bigger problem you could potentially have as well. And it's going to make, you know, keeping that conditioned air in that, you know, meat processing room, like you were saying, or in that cold storage or cooler room or freezer room, you know, that much more important. So
it's interesting. It's more like an air wall than an air curtain. I mean, it's very intriguing to be able to experience those. And I don't think a majority of the people have, unless you've been in that environment, you don't witness them a lot. I mean, everyone has felt an air curtain at some point when you've walked through, say, you know, like a service door, you walked into a, you know, any of your big box shops, and all of a sudden you have air blown across you for no reason. You're like, what's that? Why is this here? Right? So there's different
messes up your hair.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, why is that key role that I think most people don't understand?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, too, I mean, just kind of adding to the benefits, I'll go back to your example that you just talked about with, you know, the meat processing area right next to that cooler room, a little bit of a temperature difference there. Great story where there could be multiple advantages there, right? So obviously, you know, in the example you had, it's okay. You know, you want to keep the meat processing area at a certain temperature and then that cooler room at a certain temperature. But you also have, you know, again, the things you might not think about. So, you know, why is it so important to keep those temperatures consistent, right? And that comes down to, you know, potentially preventing food spoilage in that meat processing area or the quality of the meat. If that room gets, you know, too warm, you know, not only are you going to have a problem with temperature control and, you know, efficiencies, like I said, we can touch on that too. But just the actual food or, you know, whatever you're really looking to process in that room can get spoiled as well. And now you're talking about, you know, not only do we have a savings on, you know, the utility bill of running that air conditioning equipment more, but you're actually saving the food itself, and you're able to get more longevity out of the product. That's really the most important element in that case. And then, you know, another thing could be, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there could be a humidity element too, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have certain humidity levels, that could potentially, you know, create issues with the food. Or it could be a safety issue too, right? If you have condensation on the floors, that's a very common problem we have, especially in cold storage and food applications, where, you know, if you're getting condensation on the floor or frost buildup on the floor or on the strip curtains, right? If you've got strip curtains, you know, an air curtain can really just be a good way to prevent that from happening, prevent slipping issues. We've had issues where forklifts can, you know, run over puddles and crash into walls,
right?
Whatever produce they're carrying falls off the forklift. So, you know, again, just a bunch of supplemental benefits that can really be thought of in multiple applications.
I hadn't really thought about the humidity aspect as much, and I should. I mean, that was part of my job, but I was focused so much on the refrigeration and the temperature. But now that you mentioned that, it makes complete sense. Take that same example. In that meat prepping area, every night they did a washdown. You know, that was incredibly high humidity that was being used inside of that area during that short period of time. And you don't want that humidity in your actual refrigerated section of it. So, so you can do humidity isolation by using an air curtain in between two different environments.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually that brings even more so. So like I said, the bigger the temperature delta, even bigger issues could happen. And yeah. A good story I have with that is we actually had a good case study. It was out on the East Coast, so across the country for us. But they had a big issue with so again, we're talking about like supplemental benefits of the air curtain, right? They had a cold storage room, and it opened up to a unconditioned warehouse. Now in those summer months, right? That warehouse was getting really hot and humid.
Yeah.
And so they were having issues with that cold storage room. Now, obviously, temperature control, right, kind of being that one of those paramount benefits was one problem, but they were not as concerned with that. And really the problem they had was the humid air was actually getting in that cooler room. It was a beer distributor. So they had pallets and boxes of beers in these cardboard boxes. And it was actually the humidity was condensing and destroying the boxes that the beer was in. Exactly. Yeah. To the point where now you have labor costs. They had to either throw away product or they had to repackage the product. And that was the biggest issue that we were able to help them out with. Aside from, you know, not just that temperature, it was really that humidity issue, which I thought, you know, a really cool example of, you know, again, supplemental benefits of air curtains there.
Yeah, no, that's intriguing because I had just never really looked at it from the humidity perspective before. You know, I always looked at it from the temperature, but that's a perfect example of being able to, you know, manage that environment simply by putting an air barrier in between the two different environments.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So on a common air curtain installation, like what are the common designs? Cause I feel like I've seen a few different designs, particularly like in that cold storage application.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, there's a couple different, and that's what's cool with us. So, you know, we're always trying to innovate and improve our product, right? Right. I would say the most common application you're going to get is a unheated unit over like a, you know, 7 to 10 foot man door. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, you know, obviously it can be a customer entrance, that could be a cold storage, you know, walk-in door, something like that. We also do, you know, we do a lot in the industrial market too. So, I guess to kind of give you the whole spectrum here, right? We do a lot of applications as small as, you know, couple foot drive-through windows, and then as large as, you know, 30 foot plus big dock delivery doors.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, unheated unit, blowing the air is the most common. Now we also can provide heated units. So whether it's typically like electric heat, but you know, hot water, steam, gas, you know, depending on kind of what kind of building you have, we do have those options available. And you know, that's really to kind of prevent that wind chill effect. So, you know, if you're somewhere cold, like, you know, Chicago, for example, that comes to mind because I just saw the Rams win last night. So the Rams, but you know, somewhere Chicago in the winter, right? It's going to be not super comfortable if you're walking through, you know, a door to the outside. It's zero or below zero outside, and you walk and you got that air blown on you. So, you know, a lot of people think it's most common, or the heat is to kind of be like a supplemental heater for the building. Sometimes that's the case, but it's typically to kind of prevent that wind chill effect for more customer comfort. And then, you know, I would say, again, the cool thing with us, like I said, we're always trying to improve the product. So, you know, some other applications or installations we're really trying to expand and grow into are kind of more of these niche things and really just doing more with air curtains. So we have what's called a clean air series, which is just, you know, it's a various units we offer to really kind of take air curtains to that next level of, you know, not only are we using air as an air barrier, but we're actually trying to clean and sanitize the air.
Yeah.
So we can do, you know, UV lights in the units. We can do HEPA filters, you know, bipolar ionization, just kind of, again, especially more for these hospital clean room, even cold storage applications to, you know, prevent mold growth and things like that.
Right.
Extend the life of perishables. Again, just other applications and other technologies we're using to improve, you know, how air curtains can be used. So.
Sure. You know, Curtis, one of the things that I witnessed in the field is that not all technicians are educated on the repair and maintenance, and sometimes just the building, the property managers. And sometimes it would fall into kind of like the same class of like economizers that are used on rooftops, where they're incredibly beneficial. But if someone doesn't understand them, what do? they bypass them or just take them out altogether, just ruining all of the energy efficiency opportunities. Do you see that as?
Yeah. I do see that a lot. And, you know, it's funny. It's one. So we typically actually, you know, the majority of the opportunities we have are actually on existing buildings, versus design projects, kind of to your point. And a lot of times, you know, there's a couple reasons, I think, but the ones that stick out the most is the fact that, you know, they get taken off projects, possibly in the design phase. And then we get the call, you know, 6 months after the job is done and they have issues. So, you know, they're curtains, they end up getting there to some extent a lot of times, but I think really kind of relaying the value to the engineer is important. So maybe I can talk about that a little bit here.
You bet.
So I think a lot of times, you know, like I said, they get value engineered off projects, you know, they're a little over budget and they see an air curtain as a want versus a need. So that could be, you know, potentially one of the things that get taken off. When in reality, you know, I think that there's a couple things to unpack here, right? Number one, especially if you're like in a large office building type project, you know, you could have, you know, a central air handling unit that's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And first and foremost, air curtains in themselves are not very expensive. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you can get a lot more mileage, you know, figuring out ways to tweak that larger piece of equipment to save a lot more money. And then in the long run, you know, with the fact that air curtains are able to maintain building temperatures and prevent fluctuations, especially in high traffic situations, you're ultimately going to save a lot more money pretty quickly. The ROIs are pretty quick when you factor in, you know, installing one of our low pro units is the same amount of power as like running a light bulb, you know, in your parking lot.
Oh, wow.
So that is a lot more efficient than, you know, having to cycle a large compressor on and off every time those building temperatures fluctuate. So I think it's an important point there as well.
Absolutely. I do as well. I know we're going to have a lot of technicians and even engineers on the show or on this podcast listening. When we think about an air curtain, you know, most of our airflow nerds like myself are going to go, okay, we're supplying air. What are we doing with the return? How are we making this curtain? Where are we pulling air just from one room and then circling, you know, taking the temperature, whichever room has, you know, the lower temperature, or lower humidity, whatever one we're trying to condition. Are we just using the air from one of those spaces that we're trying to divide?
Yeah. So typically, you know, we recommend in a cold storage. Well, there's a couple things we recommend for cold storage. That one comes to mind first, just because it's the largest temperature difference. We typically recommend installing that on the warm side. Yeah, that's going to be your best. You know, you're going to get the best efficiency out of the unit. Now, obviously, like I said, if you're doing something like you're trying to put UV lights in it, you're trying to clean the room, sanitize the air, prevent mold growth, things like that. You know, you obviously got to install it on whichever side you're trying to clean that air in. So that could be a one case where you'd have to install it in the cooler. Freezers, just as a note, we've never really had a successful install inside a freezer. So those typically always have to be on the warm side.
Right.
But, you know, other than that, I would say in typical applications, you know, it's most common practice to install it on the inside of the building. So if you're able to do that, we recommend that. You can, for our unheated units, you can install them outdoors as long as it's, you know, covered and, you know, not exposed directly to the elements, but just to get the most longevity out of the unit. And like I said, you really just want to use that clean air that's on the inside of the building to create that barrier. Like I said, typically, you know, installing the unit on the inside of the door, if possible, is probably best practice.
Yeah. The only time that I remember seeing one installed outdoors at a local botanical garden at the zoo, you know, they had it at the entry outside but it was being used really just to make sure it was blow off any insects, you know, that might be traveling with you. But you know, it's all part of, you know, conditioning that outdoor space before you get to that indoor space. And, you know, when we think about that, you know, it has a lot of benefits. You know, if we can separate two areas, because you have a lot of traffic going in and out of those doors, so you can't use continual swinging doors or rotating doors because of, you know, safety scenarios. But if you can use an air curtain, well, now we can do a couple different things. We can isolate those two different atmospheres, and in cases like that, you could actually use them for preconditioning the person or the product before they go into the new space.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and we've kind of played around with that too. That kind of falls in that clean air series camp a little bit, to where, you can actually use these. So, you know, we've done actually a couple of installations too, where, you know, you install like two units, let's say, on the sides of the doors, vertically, right? Yeah. So they're kind of mounted vertically on the sides. And then when people are walking through, you know, it's just another way you can blow whatever, you know, things you want off of them and kind of keep them cleaner. And not just from a customer entry or, you know, person application. We do a lot of that too. Like, I guess more in the industrial sector, like with a lot of like mining projects we have, like with like mines. Yeah. They'll have, sometimes they'll have like carts, right, that kind of drive through and things like that. And depending on what they're mining, they get really dirty, and they're saying, hey, you know, another supplemental application here, right? The kind of the norm is like, hey, you know, we don't really need the temperature control or flying insects, but we just really need a fan with a controlled stream of air that can really just blow the dirt, dust, whatever off of these trucks, right? And make sure we're not polluting, you know, wherever they're going or depositing, you know, whatever product they're mining on. So we see, you know, like I said, a lot of applications like that as well.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it, but it completely makes sense. I mean, you're removing some of that dust and particles, and you're just leaving them in the environment that they came from.
Yeah. Healthcare too. Like I said, if you have like a very controlled, you know, product or something that you need cleaned, you just, you know, it's been sitting in a warehouse and then you need to move it to another room to unpackage it or whatever. You know, like I said, we're really just blowing the air, but there's another benefit there, and just another way you can think about, you know, how else can I use this other than temperature control, flying insect control, things like that.
Very intriguing. And that's the kind of things I wanted to talk about, is, you know, what are the different applications, just so people understand that there's a variety of applications that they can be used in. And sometimes we don't think about, you know, what are all of our options when we're looking at a space and we're trying to condition a space. It's important to understand what all of the options are, in case we weren't educated on what some of them could be.
Yeah. I guess a couple other kind of like, you know, I guess examples come to mind too, kind of in that, right? Like, how else can I use these? So, you know, one I thought was really good was, I'm drawing a blank on the airport now, but I was traveling, you know, a couple months ago, to the East Coast. And it was funny because I'd never seen this before, even me, right? As a Mars employee, I'd never seen this, but I was like, wow, that is a great application. I was waiting at my gate to board the plane. And I looked up, you know, they have the terminals, kind of like the terminal, I guess, to where you board people, you know, they walk on in that, terminal. And I'm looking, you know, at the door behind the gal at the desk, and I'm seeing an air curtain, and it's electric heated right at the gate inside the airport. And what I realized was they're using it there because, you know, they don't want, when those doors open, it was so cold.
You bet.
That it was actually, that cold air was coming in through that terminal, even though it was kind of sealed off. They still had an issue with that cold air getting in. So they were using air curtains, believe it or not, inside the airport at the gate to prevent that. So that was a really cool,
very cool
application. Yeah. And I just thought, you know, like I said, that'd be kind of something a little bit unique as well.
Yeah, because that could actually help even on the pressure differential. You know, if you think about like the airport, which, you know, I don't know if they negative pressure or positive pressure. They probably be positive pressure. I can't remember walking through the doors, but I think those are slightly positive pressure. You know, and if you open that to the outside, you know, that's a large amount of air that could potentially be coming, you know, down that causeway, that walkway, versus putting a air curtain in between it, and you could actually dampen that pressure differential.
Yeah. Wow. Air curtains. Yeah. I would say their pressure differentials are difficult for air curtains.
Yeah. I can imagine.
It is tough. It's a very common, I guess, just in terms of kind of, misconception, maybe not misconception, but just common issues we hear of. That is probably the largest one. Yeah. We'll hear people, you know, we'll get, you know, tech calls or whatever and said, hey, your air curtain's not working. But a lot of times, you know, we ask them, okay, well, is the building temperature balanced?
Yeah, exactly. And
a lot of times it's not. And yeah. Unfortunately, it's just, it is one of those things. I wish I could change the you know, the laws of the universe.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, it is just one of those things where negative pressure is difficult. Now, again, we can overcome a little bit.
Right.
We've seen some of that, but it is an important thing, I guess, for all the listeners as well to note of. You know, if you do have a project, especially where you have a lot of air curtains or a lot of openings, really, you know, it's, I think it is an important thing to make sure that there is a relatively balanced building. And it can be something as easy, you know, obviously numbers are great if you've got the equipment to do that. But even if something as simple as, you know, taking like a tissue or a napkin and you kind of put it at that doorway.
Right.
And if there's fluttering, right, you can kind of tell there's a little bit pressure. So that's the kind of the way I like to do it, just because it's easier. But you know, again, it's just giving you that gauge, you know, so you kind of know what to expect or the proper way to fix the issue, which, like I said, in those cases, isn't the air curtain, it's actually the building pressure. So
exactly. Curtis, where can we learn more about Mars Air Systems?
Yeah. So I would, you know, highly recommend checking out our website first and foremost at you know, marsair.com, marsair.com. Ton of great information there. Now there's a lot, so you know it'll obviously can take you a couple different ways. We've got all of our products there. We've got videos there. If you're a specifier, you know we have our specification documents there. If you're really looking to just get a better understanding of air curtains in general, we do have a YouTube channel as well, Mars Air Systems.
Nice.
And that's both. Yeah, we have videos. You know, really kind of educating people on a little bit of what I talked about, what are air curtains, their benefits, you know, where can I use them? And we actually recently came out with some videos more on the technician side as well. So if you're someone who services air curtains and you just kind of want a cleaner video of, you know, hey, how do I, you know, take out the motor fan assembly? How do I, you know, service the, you know, how do I clean it, replace parts, things like that. We have those on our YouTube page and we're actively coming out with more of those as well to hopefully, you know, better help the customer audience we have. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you hanging out with us today. Learned a lot more about air curtains than I had in the past. That's always a good day and a good conversation. And we thank you for spending time today.
Likewise, I appreciate you having me on, Clifton. Thanks again.
Absolutely.